Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, I'm caffeinated and ready to go.
Excellent. We have a lot of things to talk about today that are, in fact, relevant to your interests. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I've had a cup of tea.
Just the one?
No, obviously I'm British. I've had multiple cups of tea today.
That's why I was worried. I'm glad we resolved that. Okay. Well, it needed to be asked. You did say just the one, so I was a little bit concerned, but not terribly concerned. I figured you'd be all right. Okay. So our first topic today is an interesting thing, Charlotte, that you've discovered, which is a shiny new vulnerability in Thunderbolt. And this is specifically the Thunderbolt ports on computers that are the shape of USB-C cables.
Right, exactly. So the Thunderbolt interface via a USB-C port. And it's a group of researchers, including from the University of Cambridge, have discovered this and presented it at a conference on Tuesday. Basically, they sum it up that the attacks via this method mean that the attackers can get data that should never leave the machine, is their quote. So we're talking keystrokes, frame buffer data, because it's, as I understand it, and I'm obviously not an expert compared to these University of Cambridge cybersecurity researchers, but basically the Thunderbolt devices suddenly get access to all network data, keystrokes, frame buffer data. Now, if you're all freaking out, I sort of understand why. Apple devices are slightly better. One of the components that can help protect against this attack is called IOMMU, in out, but it's what it stands for. And basically, Apple is the only laptop provider whose operating system has that switched on out of the box. Now, Apple in 2016 did provide an update to try and deal with these kind of issues. That doesn't mean there are no problems with Apple with Mac devices and devices running Mac OS.
But it's slightly better than other types of hardware that run other types of operating systems.
Correct. So Windows 7, 8, and 10 have no support for inner input-output memory management unit, IOMMU, at all.
Right. And because they don't support it, then there's no enabling this thing to make it so that this is not an issue with those computers.
So, yeah. So what that component does is in theory, it is meant to give a peripheral device only enough power and access to do the job it's meant to do. But if you don't have that component, obviously that it's easier to get this kind of to stage this kind of attack.
Right. And the thing that when I was looking at this, and I want to make sure this is tracking properly, is that previous iterations of this attack, when we hear about like a USB drive that has something on it, and that's why you should never plug in foreign hardware or even foreign cables into your computer if you aren't reasonably trustworthy of the source of the cable. Part of that was the USB-A attacks that we've seen in the past are prevented by this IOMMU that is now part of these machines, at least on the Apple side, right?
Right.
Okay.
I think that's right. That's the preventative bit is the bit that I kind of find the hardest to get my head around. But yes, in theory, these IOMMU components are what should protect. And the thing about USB-Cs via Thunderbolt is the level of access they get to your device.
Right.
It's very privileged access, as I understand it.
Right. And it's because of the number of different things that are connectable via a USB-C cable.
Right.
Because there's a wide, because there are so many things that you can plug in that way. You can plug in a monitor, you can plug in a keyboard, you can plug in hard drives and all kinds of other things that should have more, like a monitor should have access to everything on your computer so it can show it to you. So that's part of where I think this one actually gets more dangerous, because it's just supposed to be okay. So what do you think, Andrew?
It's pretty messy.
So how do we protect ourselves against this? Because from what I had read from that link you sent me, Apple did have a patch back in 2016 that fixed some of it.
But correct.
Some of it is still vulnerable.
Yeah, that's not fixed. Yeah.
So look, the basic answer is don't put stuff into your computer that you don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. That is always been the golden rule, and I think that that's what the researchers have said. Just, you know, you have to know what you are plugging into your device,
and not a random USB drive I found in the parking lot.
Yeah,
no, you probably shouldn't do that, Andrew. No, no, I wouldn't recommend that. There's another element to this, which is the researchers created a fake network card and plugged it into the operating system, and they say they were able to start arbitrary programs as basically an act as the system administrator.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
Yeah, and that was even on macOS.
Yeah, this is. We will have a story up. Charlotte's going to go. Is going to break this down a little bit for us to look at and be able to read a little bit more, and we will talk about it.
Up at macobserver.com.
Yes, and.
And I'll make sure in that story I have links to the kind of academic paper and a very useful website. This vulnerability is called Thunderclap. That's what the researchers have called it. And if you go to thunderclap.io, they break it down really nicely as well. So I'll make sure there's a link to that in my story.
Okay. And that's and part of the usefulness of this page, the thunderclap.io, part of the usefulness about it is that it does break down a little bit more about the attack, and it tells you how it's different from other ones and what you and other things that you can do to protect yourself. And like most things, this comes down to sunlight, which is what we're doing now. We're telling you all about it, so be aware. But also there should be sort of a certain level of vigilance in the first place. Like Andrew said, don't plug in that USB-C thumb drive you found in the parking lot. You know, or particularly, yeah, if somebody wants to bet something, you know, a USB-C charger in a card game, like maybe don't do that. But just sort of in general, like be aware of what you're plugging in, what sort of prompts you get when that happens, that sort of thing. If you have ever listened to another episode of this show, you have heard Andrew or I give you at least one tip on how to make sure that you aren't going to fall victim to these kinds of attacks. And so I would point you to the catalog of shows that I've had Andrew on, just because we do a lot of talking about security and common sense and being able to mitigate this stuff as best you can with a little bit of awareness of what's happening. So.
Yeah, and I think it's reasonable to discuss this when we're discussing this to be kind of relieved as Mac users that Apple seem to have been, at least compared to other vendors, a little bit more proactive in dealing with this over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And they did say they disclosed these vulnerabilities in 2016 and have been working with them with vendors in order to try and make sure that this doesn't get worse.
Including Apple, exactly.
Right. So that's good stuff. We have another topic for you in a moment. And in the meantime, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. Our first sponsor today is ExpressVPN. And as we're talking about your personal data here, it's hard not to worry about your data and where it actually goes, who has it, who is trying to get it, and more importantly, once they have it, who they're selling it to. And one of the things that you can do to mitigate making sure that you know, like I said before, the things we always talk about with keeping your data safe, keeping your computer safe, keeping things secure. One of the things that you can do is have awareness of what happens with your data. And one of the ways that you can do that is to use a VPN. And if you're using ExpressVPN, they have easy to use apps that run in the background. It's one click to turn it on, one click to turn it off. It will secure and anonymize your internet browsing because ExpressVPN encrypts all your data and it masks your public IP address. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's less than $7 a month. And this is the number one rated VPN service by TechRadar. So what you can do to make sure that you are keeping all of your information safe is go to expressvpn.com/TDO. And once there, you will get 3 months free, faithful listener, with a 1 year package. So go to expressvpn.com/TDO and you can learn more. Now, our second sponsor today is called The Ridge Wallet. And the Ridge Wallet is a minimalist front pocket wallet that helps you reevaluate your everyday carry. So it was launched by a father-son team on Kickstarter in 2013. And now the Ridge resides in the pockets of over 250,000 people. So it's an RFID blocking wallet that's made of two metal plates. They're either titanium, carbon fiber, or aluminum. And they're bound together by a durable band. And it's very slim. It blocks RFID. And it has a lifetime guarantee. It comes in a load of different colors, and the Ridge will help you carry less, but always make sure that you have what you need. Here's what to do. You can get 10% off and free worldwide shipping if you go to ridgewallet.com/observer. It's RIDGEWALLET.com/observer, OBSERVER. And you will get 10% off today and free worldwide shipping. Now,
so I can get it sent to me here in UK for free?
Yes, free shipping.
This is exciting.
Definitely. So go check them out. I have a code. So our other topic today is something very interesting that Andrew, you wrote up yesterday. And I'm going to go ahead and let you talk us through it, because then I'm just going to probably ask you a bunch of questions afterward to make sure that that everybody has a good understanding of what this is.
Mm-hmm. So the other day, Cloudflare had released its transparency report, mm-hmm. which covers the second half of 2018. And the biggest thing out of that report was that they updated their warrant canaries, which they first added back in 2013. Mm-hmm. And they've since updated them, expanded them, just added some clarification.
Okay. Now, what are warrant canaries?
If someone might not be familiar with Cloudflare, you may have heard, I think this was either last year or earlier this year. Uh-huh. There was this big news about how they bought the DNS 1.1.1.1.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. So that's who's behind that.
Okay. Now, Cloudflare is a hosting company. They're server farms. You go get space on them, sort of like Amazon Web Services, AWS, right? The Cloudflare is a similar sort of organization. So what exactly is a warrant canary?
So
this is what I want to know, because at the moment I'm seeing some kind of yellowish bird.
Okay, well, fun fact, a warrant canary was based on, have you ever heard of the old coal miner canary in a coal mine thing?
Certainly have.
Yes.
Okay. So that's kind of based on that, where the canary was an alert system for the miners. Mm-hmm. If there was, like, invisible gas or something in the mine, they could get out.
It was kind of, I think if carbon dioxide levels were getting too high, that the canary, sadly, would die, wouldn't it?
It would be the canary that would go, but that would be the signal for everyone else to get out of the mine.
Correct.
So, yes.
And so a warrant canary is, if a company gets served with a subpoena, aka a warrant, those things usually come with a gag order, meaning you can't talk about it or you'll get in even more trouble.
Right.
So a warrant canary is something, is a sentence or a picture that is kind of a loophole around this gag order.
Okay.
It can be something like, I've seen some websites have a picture that says the FBI has not been here. And if someday,
so then when the FBI shows up,
disappears,
it goes away.
Yeah, so that's kind of a way to let you know that the FBI has been there.
Interesting. Or, okay.
Yeah. So, or besides an image, it could be just a simple sentence. So, for example, one of Cloudflare's canaries says, Cloudflare has never installed any law enforcement software or equipment anywhere on their network. And if that sentence gets removed, well, you can maybe think, well, maybe they did install some software.
Yeah. So for places that have this listed, you kind of have to keep an eye on it, because one day it will disappear and that will tell you the thing that you need to know.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are some organizations that might be keeping track of all of these.
Oh, sure. One thing that I remember is, like, Reddit, I think, used to do this. And I don't know if it's that they don't report it anymore, or if they just took it all down and don't talk about it now. But I remember Reddit having these, which is the closest I ever came to sitting down learning a bunch about Warren Canaries was, I remember people talking about Reddit having them, and that Reddit doesn't have them anymore, or at least they're not talking about them. Like, you know, this is how many times this got taken down or whatever. So,
yeah, I know they have released their own transparency reports, but I haven't heard anything about their canaries.
Yeah.
Now,
Wikipedia has one also, I believe.
I'm very intrigued by all this. I'd never heard of this as a concept, but it's very interesting how the ingenious ways people find their way to work around these kind of orders and loopholes and... Well, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
One of the things that I mean, it's sort of the opposite of this, but one thing that I remember is this vaguely reminds me of long ago when it was much harder to get information from Apple, and then it was much harder to publish. There was a lot less. There was no social media. There weren't a lot of websites tracking Apple at the time, you know. And so if something got out about Apple then and was published on a website, then the website would get a takedown notice. So if you got to read it and then, you know, in the morning and then in the afternoon you went back and there was no story there anymore, like, that was almost verification it was right, because Apple cared enough to go tell them that they had to take it down. And so that's sort of what this reminds me of. Like, if it's still there, then, you know, that person is probably making things up. But if it's gone, then, you know, that's a pretty good sign that Apple has been here, because they told us to knock that off.
So one of the old canaries said, Cloudflare has never turned over what's called SSL keys, which is encryption. Mm-hmm. Now, that was back in 2013. Since then, SSL has been deprecated. So they've now clarified that to mean all encryption and authentication keys you might think of. So just some clarification added.
Well, that's good, because SSL is not the only way to do that anymore. And there's a lot more that goes into things besides just having SSL. So I'm glad about that. Was there anything else interesting in the report? Like, once, you know, aside from warrant canaries, which I thought were interesting, was there anything else of note in the report as they were talking about this stuff that maybe we should know about as far as Cloudflare goes?
Not in this report. This report was mostly about the warrant canaries. Okay. They did have some new reports that I didn't read that covered different things. One thing I thought was interesting is that someone had pointed out that one of the canaries said, we won't modify customer content at the request of law enforcement or another third party. Now, that's kind of misleading, because back in 2017, there was this whole thing about this website called Daily Stormer. I think it was an alt-right website.
Yes.
Cloudflare ended up taking it down. And everyone else did, too. So you could argue that, you know, that canary might be kind of false, depending on how technical you want to get, I guess.
Well, it depends on what it was. I mean, if they didn't modify the content, if they just quit, you know, turned off the server where that one was or something, technically that wasn't modifying content. And if it was just because Cloudflare decided to do it and it wasn't because anyone else asked them to, then technically that would not be at the request of law enforcement or another third party, and that would not be modifying customer content if we just didn't let it come from Cloudflare anymore. Mm-hmm. Which yes, is a technicality. I get it. But if it was just something that they decided they weren't going to be part of anymore, then that technically wouldn't violate that particular canary, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the canaries are interesting in that, like I said, there's, I think Wikipedia has them. I don't know if Reddit still has them, but I know Reddit quit talking about them at one point, which was a big deal. And, it's interesting to see how the, like how those work. Like Charlotte was saying, talking about how, about routing around those sorts of things. Like, you know, if you go to a website that says the FBI hasn't been here, and then one day it doesn't say that anymore. Yeah. That's,
because they can't.
I'm definitely going to be on the lookout for these now.
Yeah. Because, you know, obviously they can't say the FBI has been here. So it's right. A little sneaky trick.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't just, yeah, here's a picture of the FBI showing up at our offices today, and this is our homepage now. That doesn't work very well. So, yeah, it's interesting, you know, watching the route around the, when people do this kind of stuff. I thought that was, and the thing that I thought was interesting was also how they talk about having updated their canaries and the other things that, that they point out in their transparency report. By and large, mm-hmm. transparency reports are fundamentally very, very dry reading. So if you have an interest, you know, yes, if you have an interest, you know, Apple has a transparency report, Cloudflare has a transparency report, a lot of places do. And in some cases they are, they may contain interesting information, but by and large, it's generally not a fun read. So if you are interested in a particular company, you can go read their transparency reports and find out about how many times the government has requested things from them and how that went. But for the most part, you probably just want to wait and see if anybody reports on anything interesting about it, because usually it's someone else's job to go and read these for you so that you don't have to wade through all of that and look for the nugget of interest that could be in any of these, because like I said, they are very dry reading. I've read more than my share, and they're not page turners.
Let Andrew read it so you don't have to.
Exactly. Yes,
read my article instead.
Yes, Andrew.
You definitely read Andrew's article.
Andrew has thrown himself on that particular grenade. and we thank you for that, Andrew. We're
not
gonna,
all heroes wear capes.
There you go. If you have found anything interesting in transparency reports, or you just want to make sure that the companies that you're up to, that you're interested in, that we are throwing ourselves on the hand grenades of that very dry reading, please do let us know. You can find a comment section in the show notes. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com, and you can reach out to us on Twitter at TMO Daily. You can also go to iTunes and swing by and leave us a review. Those reviews are always appreciated. And I want to thank my guests today. So Andrew, thanks for coming by and talking to us about canaries.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Charlotte, thanks for coming by and talking to us about Thunderclap.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And this has been the Mac Observer Security Watch podcast for February 27th, 2019. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.